from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM where we are back on the AM signal.
Huh? We're back, baby!
Ah! Or...
Can't keep us down. Well, you can for a number of hours while the power's out.
Yeah, from like 9 till 3.
Yeah.
We came back on. I got in my car after our show ended, and I had a quick phone call. I got off, and it was like 2:59. I sent Buck a text message saying, hey, we're back on! We're back on! We're hot! We're live! Literally, the herd in our show... Wiped off the face of the earth on the fan.
Somebody really doesn't like us.
And then, boom.
Pop. Oh, it's not so much that. Primetime is just a really big deal in this part.
That's right. PG was like, those guys were like, oh, wait, it's almost 3 o'clock.
We got to get a primetime on.
I got to make sure I get this in my work truck. But we are back up and running, and thank you. We went to the pet store, got a few more hamsters, put them in the wheel. They're back to churning out there off... I don't know.
Marine Drive.
Marine Drive. Yeah. That's where we're at. Off of Marine Drive there on the old AM towers. Mm-hmm. So thank you for everybody who made the adjustments, went to 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. We're back up and running today. And Buck is here. Buck is here. Thanks, Buck.
Hello. Sure.
7 hours of radio, 1 hour down. You only got 6 more to go, bud.
That's right. I feel like I'm so close to being done.
You're not.
No.
You're not. You're not at all. ESPN had an article today that profiling Dan Lanning.
Yeah, Paolo Uggetti did the deep dive with on site with old ball coach of the program.
Boy, it's amazing how fast Lanning's profile has risen.
Mm-hmm.
And I tease this as the hottest coach in college football. It's when you have this vacuum of Nick Saban leaving the game of college football. Jim Harbaugh leaving the game of college football. We've seen the shine come off of Dabo Swinney over the last handful of years, which people just think like Dabo's some bum now. Mm-hmm. He's still a really damn good coach.
You could say
really
he's corny. Like
good teams.
Guys like him and Gundy, you can be like, oh, they're corny. I don't believe anything they're saying. Does not change that they're great football coaches.
Yeah. Dion and what was last year this bright shining star?
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
It is coming down pretty quickly. Boy, it is fizzling out just as fast as that star went up into the sky, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to see how the narrative is kind of flipping and changing around Deion Sanders. And then you have a guy like Kirby Smart, and Ryan Day is like, you need to win the title. Mm-hmm. You need to beat Michigan. But Kirby Smart is a guy that he doesn't give you a whole heck of a lot.
Also, does it feel like he's been deflecting a lot for the last year now?
Yeah.
Like trying to almost set the bar lower. Like, yeah. I just don't have the depth anymore. I can't keep all everybody. It's too dadgum competitive.
And here comes Lanning coming to Oregon, mm-hmm. recruiting at a level that they never have before. It is a profile that is attractive to people because he's young. He's not afraid to talk. And he'll sit down and he'll make that time for people, which that is the big thing, right? It's like the accessibility and the availability of that coach to want to go and do those things, because Chip Kelly was that guy for the longest time when he went from offensive coordinator to head coach. When Chip was an OC, he used to talk to everybody, and he was a great interview, and everybody wanted to talk with Chip Kelly because he was doing something different and something new. He turned into a head coach and he closed the doors. Lincoln Riley closed the doors at Oklahoma, and Lanning kind of has this open approach. So there's a lot of people like, what has Dan Lanning done? Well, that's it right there, is he's made himself and his program very accessible.
Yes.
Or, excuse me, program. Very accessible. I mean, if you don't know, we launched a new podcast on the Odyssey Sports Network, The Program, mm-hmm. myself and then former defensive lineman Cole Linehan. Our first episode, Dan Lanning was on it.
Look, they understand. And this has been my hesitancy with, like, USC. The Oregon has been, you can say the jerseys and like there's no history, blah, 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 like that. Like they're always trying to be what's new and shiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are, it's called evolving. Look, Alabama, USC, I get what they try to be. Notre Dame, Michigan, you're rooted in 100 years of history and culture and you don't want to change things.
They're the epitome of blue blood.
Yes.
Like they've been here for so long. What do we need to talk about?
Yeah.
You know us.
And that's the thing is though, you do have to eventually change. This is like Blockbuster refusing to buy Netflix.
Yeah, right.
Why? We're here. We
can all agree though that if Blockbuster bought Netflix, both of them would be gone right now.
Yeah. Or Yahoo not buying Google.
Yes, that's it right there.
But like, because you thought you, I've been here the longest. I've been successful. You and I and Buck are old enough to know that Yahoo was the platform.
Yahoo!
That's where you went.
You did not Google anything.
Mm-mm.
You Yahooed.
Yeah.
You may have even asked Jeeves.
I was just going to say
Jeeves
that.
We would. Sure.
It was Yahoo, Ask Jeeves. Mm-hmm. You would go to the Netscape.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But my point being, you have to... You can still hold on to your identity. Like I saw this one pop up in USC Twitter the other day. There was a mock-up of a new helmet. And USC till I die. Can't change it. I'm like, guys, they leave that to Oregon. Guys, changing one jersey or having one alternate helmet does not mean you have 47 new jersey options.
That's right.
It's okay. It's okay to change. There was an issue 3 years ago when they changed the collar on the USC jerseys, and people got mad. And it's like, guys, it's okay. In Oregon, they've had some minor missteps, but other than that, damn near A+ marketing all the way through. Whether it's the new
Generation O,
the team out west.
Yeah.
Doing that, whether it was making the decision and Lanning had to sign off on this, letting those films out from the Colorado game.
Oh, absolutely.
Look, him and whoever came up with the idea to let that out or whoever convinced him to do it knew that the backlash on Colorado was going to be so severe that Oregon could get away with murder in that. And they did.
Homicide.
On the social media side of things, they packaged them up, boxed them up, and kicked them to the curb in every way, shape, matter, and form. They humiliated them on and off the field, and nobody said a word about it because they read the temperature of the room. And that's not just Lanning. It's Lanning and. It's the whole program being in line, not only with NIL, not only with coaching, but it's the social media, it's the marketing, it's the management. And we've talked about this so much. It's the corporation of football now. And one of the things that Paolo mentions is that Dan Lanning is a CEO and he gets it. And you've mentioned this. He walks around practice with the microphone
in his pocket
so that he can bounce between everything. He's not just sitting with the offense and going, "Hey, I'm going to let LaPoy handle this. I'm going to let, you know," he's working with every group as he sees fit. That is how a CEO, a modern day CEO, you may have a specialty with Lanning, it's defense.
Sure.
But you still go everywhere and you sprinkle around and you have to be available to everything, whether it's making a podcast appearance or going to a golf tournament or sitting down for an interview. Like, think about all of the things that we've seen Lanning do away from football for the past 2 months.
Yeah.
Also doing the football stuff.
And that is where I think a lot of the old guard in college football, and I think this is why there is that allure to Lanning in Oregon and what he's doing, is that that is tedious and too much for a lot of the old guard of college football, right? That's not what they want to do. They want to just coach football. Like, you know, Nick Saban, we've talked about this, that Nick Saban, make no mistake that the one thing that he said is going to hold Alabama back this year is the secondary, because he coached the defensive backs as the head coach too.
And they're all gone.
You know, like he was so attached, and you have head coaches that you want to be strictly on the offensive side and you only want to focus and be hyper focused on the offensive side. You know, they're in laid into this article is kind of Lanning and what everybody says is, you know, the NIL paying money. And I've said this a lot about, it's not just NIL. It helps them tremendously, and I do not want to get that twisted one bit. It gets them in the door. Mm-hmm. It helps them close these deals. But then you hear, like in the profile right here that Paolo did on ESPN, Dylan Gabriel says the thing that kind of is his separator is, he says, "I think he connects well with the players because he's not like a grandpa. I think he does a damn good job of being real. He's able to be vulnerable with us, and that allows us to be vulnerable, which makes you gain confidence in one another and get closer."
He's also a lunatic.
He is. He's ultra competitive.
My favorite line in this about his competitiveness, Paolo talked to Dante Moore, and he said, this is Dante's quote, "We were at his house eating, came up to me, and he was like, 'I need a cornhole partner. Can you be my partner?' I was like, 'Nah, I don't know, coach. I don't know if I'm that good.' He looked at me and he was like, 'Nah, I don't want you to be on my team then.'"
Right?
This is your prize transfer quarterback, and you're like, your arm's weak. I don't want you. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like the Mother's Day, I think it was Mother's Day post that he made, where it was like good day with the family, mm-hmm. and they just did a bunch of competitions with him and his kids.
Yeah, they had their own family Olympiad.
He posted the score, the scores of him, his wife, and all of his kids, and like everything is a competition.
He does have that in common with Dion.
But he lives it. Mm-hmm. Like, and that is it, is that there has to be a genuine nature behind what you're doing.
And there are no excuses. That's the other thing, because he has told Rob specifically that being sick is a choice.
It is.
So
that's one of my favorite Lanningisms. I'm not going to lie.
Like, anything that seems maybe out of your control, he's like, nope, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a choice. Your immune system, you chose to have a bad immune system. You know, I'm not going to take any of that right now. But I think where you have to go from there is the proof has got to be in the pudding, right? And that is where I think that anybody that takes issue or exception to the way that he is covered, he's winning at a really high level through his first 5 years. I mean, it is 3 losses to Washington, which he knows, and I bet that bugs the hell out of him.
He goes into that here and says it's more about, you know, you want to be successful at everything, but when the things that aren't, you want to learn from them and you want to find the things, the variables that you can control.
A drubbing in his very first game at the hands of his mentor at Georgia. And then that...
It might end up being the best thing for him.
That Civil War loss to Oregon State in year one, where they just ran the damn ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you look at that, everything else has been a win, a win, a win, and progress, right? That is what I think to the people, it's the accessibility. It is the genuine nature in that connection that he's trying to build. And it's the winning. I mean, you have got to be able to do that. Accessibility, connection, and just winning. Anybody that says, you know, what has he done? Well, he's kind of changed that narrative about Oregon. And make no mistake that Team Out West episode 2, the title of it was physicality. You heard Jabbar Muhammad, who played at Washington last year. Prior to that, he was at Oklahoma State, said, this is the most physical camp I've ever been through. Like, bar none. The most physical camp I've been through. You go through, and that is kind of what he wants to breed and change at Oregon, because what has always been the knock about Oregon? Finesse.
Yes.
When the rubber meets the road and it becomes too physical, Oregon used to fold.
Nice players can't really line up with the big boys, though. That was the label.
And that is changing. And this profile tells us a lot of things that we already knew about Dan Lanning and his path to being a head coach and getting to the University of Oregon. But I think for those that you look at and you say, all right, think a little bit further about why there is this attractiveness to him. It's because he puts himself out there, whether it is to the media where he has his Lanningisms that he keeps going back to, right? 1+1+1. Right. That's a big one that he's into now. But he falls back on those cliches with the media, but he's there for it and available to mm-hmm. it. But then there is when you see in this article, the players and other coaches, Will Stein is quoted as saying he's never too high, he's never too low, he's always in the middle. When you are a head coach and when you are a leader, you have to always be in the middle. That is that connection that we don't see. That he also is making available in that accessibility.
No.
503-864-6326 is the Vancouver Ford text line. Good, decent little profile. Gives you a little bit of a look as to why people...
Palo's a hell of a writer, and he does a really good job in these profiles.
Yeah, but why people are gravitating towards him a little bit more, too, when you look at it from that lens.
I'll tell you from this lens, from the lens of I grew up hating the living crap out of that program.
Yeah.
I like Lanning. Mm-hmm. A lot. It's probably 90% of the reason why I'm even close to thinking how I think about that program now. It has everything to do with him.
503-864-6326. Text us. Hey, by the way, we got some injury updates from the NFL with local guys. A little good news, bad news for a duck and a beaver. Next on The Fan.
Wrapped around each other.
Are you a good news first or bad news first guy?
Oh, bad news always.
You're bad news first, Buck?
100%.
Buck?
I feel like I go back and forth. I try to do the quick math in my head of which sounds like it's going to be more palatable, and I go based on that gut.
All right. We'll go bad news first. We have an injury out of Nolens. Talese Fuaga, who I feel like I jinxed him by just the other day. I was talking about how good he looks for the Saints, and all of the reports seem to be glowing about the Oregon State tackle who switched from, you never really see this very often in the NFL. He went from right tackle in college to left tackle in the NFL. We usually see the left tackle move over to the right side when you get to the NFL, but Fuaga has been getting rave reviews out of Saints camp.
Which should surprise absolutely no one.
Nobody.
Man-child.
He is amazing. Very, very well coached, a monster on the edge. But Saints coach Dennis Allen said that he had to be removed from practice today with lower back tightness. That's not good.
No, it's not, because usually it's because it's persistent of something else. But when you said that Fuaga's got an injury, I was like, oh, no. I immediately went to, like, you know, knee.
Yeah, he walked off, though.
Which is good.
With the trainer. He got up off the field. But they're not ruling him out of their game this weekend. Mm. And they're just calling it lower back tightness right now. But I mean, we look at guys, especially when you're carrying around 300 plus pounds, you know, you're putting a lot of strain and stress on that lower back, and back injuries are no fun for anybody. So, that's something to monitor, and I hope he has a quick recovery and return, because he could could be really damn special. Mm-hmm. And good news, not anything serious right now. The really good news, Justin Herbert out of his walking boot.
Oh.
Herbert out of the boot in LA.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
Yeah, I don't know if he's locked, cocked, and ready to rock, but he is working out with the other Herbert right now. Ben Herbert, no relation, the psycho strength coach for the Los Angeles Chargers that Jim Harbaugh brought with him from Michigan. He was out of the boot and seen working out with Ben Herbert at Chargers practice today, which great news for Herbert. Plantar fascia, again, it's not fasciitis, it's not chronic, but an injury that they were very cautious with, wanted to monitor. It looks like he'll be on track to go week one, maybe even that third preseason game, Justin Herbert gets a snap or two, huh? Maybe. Just maybe.
Or they just keep him in the boot and be ultra cautious.
I don't think that's in anybody in that organization's DNA. Are you familiar with one Jim Harbaugh?
They like to drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
Does anything about that man seem cautious?
No.
No. No. Nothing that he has ever done has been cautious. He's Captain Comeback. And you don't get Captain Comeback by just making the easy throws. The man has been a psycho since day one. We know that. We hear him speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, if anything, Justin Herbert has to use that big old brain. He was a biology major, right, Buck? Is that what he was?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to use that big brain and be like, I don't know, maybe pull the reins back on Jim Harbaugh and Ben Herbert a little bit there. But Herbert back up and moving around Chargers camp. Good news. Good news. This is the time everybody gets their dings in training camp. But Herbert back, Talese Fuaga in New Orleans, lower back. You see the Bengals lost their tackle today too?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's going to miss the season with patellar tendon injury.
Didn't they have a running back go down with a patellar tendon too?
Did they?
I thought they did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Chris Evans.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not Captain America, but the running back, Chris Evans. He went down with, you're right, Buck. He did go down with
it. It was yesterday or the day before?
See, that is the weirdest thing to me. When you have like a rash of the same injuries that happen on a given team
that are somewhat unique,
yeah.
Well, here's a perfect example: the Trailblazers with the core injury.
Yes.
Well, with that, the Blazers are gonna make, and they're gonna announce, I think, next week that there have been changes made to the medical staff.
Really?
Yeah.
And are they instituting 8-minute abs as mandatory?
As I understand it, they weren't able to like trace anything back to anything specific, but it was like, we just have to make a change because there's just too many of this injury popping up.
Yeah, that is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
That the Blazers have just been snake bitten by abdominal injuries.
Yeah, just the weirdest kind of thing.
So. Oh, man. And look, Texas's running back room, the University of Texas, they lost their top two running backs with knee injuries.
Their returning starter and their hotshot incoming freshman.
Oh, man. That sucks. All right. Well, there's our good news, bad news, bad news for today. There we go.
There you go. All right. Coming up on a Worst Day on the Web, you want to hear the insanely Orwellian story involving drones?
No, because that just scares me. That scares me. I get frightened. Yeah. But drones are really starting to freak me out.
I may have found the mildest, worst use of drones yet.
Oh, cool. Great. Yeah.
But first, here's the old Buck Truck with Sports Center Update.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
I'll save the lost and found cocaine story for another day, because that's a fun one.
Boy, that's a Mad Lib.
Right? Here's one for you. Modesto, California, courtesy of WKRC. A woman has had her home insurance canceled.
Wait, from WKRC?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be in the Mississippi?
Yeah,
news,
that's odd.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. This is for
folks.
They must
have picked it up from somebody on the
This is for folks that don't know, right? Yeah. So, like, if you're west of the Mississippi, all of our radio and TV is K. Like,
as in KFXX.
KFXX, mm-hmm. KPDX, mm-hmm. KGW, KATU, COIN.
KMTT, 910 ESPN Portland.
That's right. If you're east of the Mississippi River, it is W. So, like, WEEI, our sister mm-hmm. station in Boston.
WFAN.
WGN, mm-hmm. where everybody watched their Cubs play.
Yes.
It's all W.
The more you know. Where's that?
Look at that. Look at that. That's inside baseball.
Mm. But according to them, a woman in Modesto has told a news station down there that her home insurance of nearly 40 years dropped her coverage because of what they spotted with a drone.
Oh, no.
So they're doing a renovation.
Okay.
And this is what she says. They've been renovating your home for more than 3 years. Look, we've all been there. Sometimes projects start with 3 months.
Yeah.
3 years later, not done.
Comedian Nate Bargatze has a great joke about that. Mm. He's like, we're doing some backyard work, and I brought in a porta potty, and they tore down my fence and then left for 6 months. Yeah. So I just started telling my neighbors that, yeah, that was a renovation. We brought in a porta potty, put it in the drive, and tore down the fence. Like, that's it. Yeah, we're done. These things take a long time. Contractors are busy.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's part of the deal. But she said it's been going on for 3 years, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to have her driveway redone, her kitchen updated, and the bathroom renovated, among some other changes and upgrades. She said it was amazing. It was wonderful because it took forever. Soon, however, Van Kuren is the woman involved here.
Okay.
Said she was notified by letter that her home insurance company of nearly four decades, CSAA, had dropped her. They reached out to CSAA, and their response, after saying that the affected woman here said that they flew over and dropped her because of the drone, the company says that they denied flying any drones, but explained they used multiple sources of information to assess the conditions of properties. Those sources included aerial imagery that CSAA said is captured by a third party with fixed-wing aircraft and satellites per the network.
Okay, what did they find? What was it that they said, no counties on your homeowner's insurance now?
So this is what they said. According to CBS, the company cited a substantial increase in hazards with clutter or unsanitary conditions, with the letter calling it unacceptable hazard and liability exposure, otherwise known as a construction site.
Yeah. Construction, you wear a hard hat, you have nails, buckets, shovels, rakes, holes in the ground.
Yeah.
Are they not familiar with how construction works?
No, clearly not.
All right. And so you drop the homeowner's insurance for that.
Of a client who's had it for 40 years.
Yeah, that's wild.
Who's
dude.
Paid what? Probably, if they're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in this house, you're probably talking about somebody who's probably paid $50,000 to $70,000 worth of home insurance.
Insurance is a racket, dude.
I mean, it is.
It's crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
But this is insane. They deny using the drone, but then they also say, well, we use a third party, which.
Well, yeah, that's their cover there.
Yeah, they use a drone.
Man. And they could just fly over your house.
Which I have no idea how this is going to be regulated.
Danny's like, damn, I really need to start fixing, cleaning, buttoning some stuff up here in my backyard.
Why don't do anything in the backyard?
I was talking about buns out, suns out, buns out, that you're tanning in the backyard that you do.
Look, man, I got the back studios, you know, it's covered. All right. But the interesting thing about this to me is how we are going to regulate our airspace. Like, this is going to get mildly serious here for a second.
All right.
Because think about this. If I grab my cell phone and I go outside this building and I just start filming, that's totally legal. You cannot tell me when I'm standing on the sidewalk that I can't film. It's protected and legal. All you Karens out there who think people can't do that, you can't film somebody in public, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Absolutely, unequivocally, there's not a bleeping thing you can do about it. Sorry. That's the reality.
Yeah.
You cannot ask them to delete the footage. You are in public. You have now exposed yourself to that possibility. Mm-hmm. That is part of the social contract that we have.
Now, if they come onto your property,
then you can beat their living teeth in.
But if you go onto their property,
welp,
they can also film you. Well, wow. Film you.
Yes.
Or beat you up. I don't think you could just do it for somebody just coming over.
You'd be surprised. Depends on where you live. I have a big backyard. Burned my butt.
Mm.
You're not wrong. But airspace. How do we regulate airspace?
With Space Force.
Right? But I mean, like, these drones, man, yes, they're being used to blow up Russian tanks by attaching a grenade to them. But,
yep.
And sink ships in the Persian Gulf. But also, like, Amazon's like looking at delivery with this stuff and pizza delivery. Was it Domino's that was experimenting with the pizza delivery? It's like there's a lot of stuff here. It's like we are opening ourselves. There is a level, I think, of privacy that is accepted when you're in your backyard or an enclosed space.
Yeah, there's some that does give me kind of the creeps about.
Right?
Like, there's a guy who has a drone in our neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes over to the park and he like flies it around, whatever. But it'll like come over from the park over some of the houses. And I'm like,
he's watching you barbecue now.
Yeah.
Look, I'm telling you,
it's
man.
It's like an unsettling kind of feeling. And I know he's probably not watching me barbecue or whatever, but it just gives you that unsettling feeling.
I see.
Yeah, Team Canada got penalized at the Olympics for using drones.
Damn right. Coach got fired. Sent home.
He's sent home from the games.
I mean, just big Patriots fan.
Look, take it easy.
What?
We didn't use drones.
This is the next evolution.
We just handheld camcorders.
Because they didn't have drones yet.
No.
It's already been addressed.
Look, if I hear a in my backyard, the next thing that drone's going to hear is, I'm telling you right now, that will, quite literally, will not fly.
That's the least surprising thing that has been said today.
Just, you want to go fly your drones? Go to the park.
Yeah.
That thing comes over my property. I'm going to go full American right now. My property rights, your property rights, they go up vertically to the top of the atmosphere.
America, yeah!
Yes. That area, that's mine. Look, FAA at 30,000 feet, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Otherwise, mm-mm. You get below and into the lower atmosphere, that's mine. If my gun can reach it, it's mine.
Yeah, that I don't disagree. Maybe like discharging your weapon in the neighborhood, probably going to get a visit.
That's Newberg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is true. That is true. That's why you live there.
You're not wrong.
That's why you live there.
So it's just, imagine if this actually is found out to be true and this company terminates. It's like, the legal precedent that it sets, like they can just come over with a drone on your house whenever you want.
I don't like that.
That seems super weird, right?
Yeah. Like this is like the hillbilly in me coming out where it's just like,
No, the America in me is coming out real strong. Like, you're doing what? My property? Like,
no,
strong no.
Makes my skin curl.
Yeah, this feels dirty. And
it is dirty. It is dirty. There's a reason why you feel that way. It's because it is a dirty way to lose your homeowner's insurance, especially when you're doing a renovation to your home. You're upping the value of the property. And guess what, insurance company? You were going to get a pretty penny off that because they were going to have to reassess the value of the home and insurance would have gone up.
Yeah. Because they probably, considering that they're in California.
And 40 years old, you're doing it to an old lady, too.
40 years of home insurance. Yeah. They've been there for a long time.
Not 40 years old. 40 years of homeowner's insurance. They've been there for, she's in her 60s or 70s at least, right?
And it's California, and so you are going to get, California's going to get their tax money.
I'm also.
They're going to assess it.
I am also a little perplexed here. It just may be me, but I think we've had like three different insurance companies insure our home over various homes in various years. 40 years with one company seems like a really long time. Like, you never took a look at it and shopped around over 40 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not just taking this lady's homeowner's insurance away. You're also just thumbing your nose at one of your loyal customers.
I would imagine that among homeowners and then that in that world, that's probably like one of the longest tenured customers that they have.
Yeah. That's a wild
you know
move
what I mean?
By
like
this company.
It just seems like it's a very bad idea.
See, this is
the board.
Where I think a lot of the companies are just, they've lost me in that everything is about a bottom line and
min-maxing the dollar. Look, I'm pro-commerce, but you've got to be somewhat real and
but
stuff now.
Even this is not even, this goes beyond that. Yeah. This is just checking a box and being like, well, nope. It looks hazardous to us. We're going to get on it. Now, I haven't seen the pictures. Now, if this thing has like pits of spikes in it in the backyard, then we may have a different conversation. But the way you went about it was completely wrong. Send a damn person out there so they can have a conversation with this lady and you can walk through that backyard and say, all right, so we need to fix this, this, and this before you go, nope. We had a couple of pictures without any conversation with you, and then we're just going to rip away your homeowner's insurance. That's dumb. That's bad bitness.
Oh, this is now, there's a little bit more in here as I click through. She has paid over $80,000.
Ridiculous.
In payments to them.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah, there are no pictures. Unfortunately, I was really hoping there was something, but there's also, this is going to continue to go. Apparently insurance companies must give you 75 days notice before canceling your coverage. So as always, there will be lawyers. So I hope she wins. All right. Coming up next.
You should win.
There is a new mandate among awards voters that did not exist before. And it absolutely blows my mind. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan. Today the NBA announced something that I don't know, probably should have been a rule, a while ago.
Tell me more. Are they going to make their starters go six innings?
Unfortunately not.
The NBA doesn't do that.
Jared Greenberg had this little, just kind of slid this out there from a note from NBA PR. NBA award voters are now officially prohibited from making wagers on NBA awards categories during any season in which they're voting.
Wait. So it was allowed before or it wasn't specified before?
So I could put a hundo down on like Giannis to win the MVP and then vote Giannis to win the MVP?
Uh-huh.
Seems flawed.
Yeah.
Seems flawed.
And look. We've all seen the, I think it's unfair and probably legally not wise for me to say it, but some betting indicators from certain newsbreakers in the NBA world that look
wildly suspicious at best. Shams Charania shifted the betting odds on the Paolo Banchero number one draft pick.
Sponsored by FanDuel.
With absolutely zero actual intel.
Yeah.
That's
completely moved the betting line, like shifted it
1,000 points.
1,000 points for the number one overall pick.
How there has not already been an E60 on that is beyond me.
Well, I could tell you why.
Okay, yeah, there's probably a lot of money involved there.
There's a lot of, we spend a lot of money to have your, what is it like, the DraftKings Fantasy Football Hour. Mm. you know, the FanDuel fantasy football hour, the all that stuff.
ESPN bet.
Probably. Is it really?
Oh, that, yeah. It's been really bad.
Spent a lot of money on that.
Yep. And then they've done absolutely nothing with it. So, I mean, we can't use it here.
No, we can't.
They bought a platform that's not national.
All we got is the DraftKings here. Well, we are kind of unique in that the state of Oregon only has one avenue to bet.
Oh, you mean only one master to serve?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the way that actually goes. But this is insane. Not that that this is happening. It's that it didn't happen beforehand. Look, the reason why it's now become an official thing is because, wink, wink, nod, nod, they did an audit.
Oh, and they saw.
They saw a name or two.
Well, and it's maybe the, hey, wait a minute. We don't have that in our rules.
Yeah.
We should probably put that in the rules there.
Look,
guys.
I am not a voter. I do bet on these kind of things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, if the Basketball Writers Association, if I was a voter, I would absolutely unequivocally not gamble on this.
No.
Like, and I wouldn't need to be told. That just, if
you. No, but you know that there are several people that
had to be.
Need to be told.
Because they're, you know, you're looking for a loophole. But like, yeah, this is insane. This is absolutely unequivocally insane.
I can't.
That, like, hey, guys, that thing that you can influence? No, you can't.
When did we launch DraftKings here in the state of Oregon? What's that, 2018? 2018, 2019-ish?
Yeah, it was pre-COVID.
It's right around then. We've had legalized sports gambling for a half a decade now, and nobody was like, oh, yeah. We should probably figure this one out.
Unbelievable. Absolutely, totally unbelievable.
I wonder who made the most money off of that.
What's funny here is like they kind of slid this out through like Jared Greenberg. Like, hey, can you just make this announcement real quick? And then we're just going to move on from this.
Oh, man. Let's see here. Now we... Who is the panel? It's all, well, I mean, there's so many media members that vote on it too.
But that's
local.
Yes.
Local and national. Yeah, that makes complete sense as to why.
And look,
it was happening. It probably wasn't like guys.
Somebody
like,
did an audit of Marcus Smart winning Defensive Player of the Year, and they went, wait a second.
We do the joke of, you know, like Shams with the betting line, because he did. He affected an entire betting line on the draft. But we make that joke. He wasn't voting on this, but I think it's more geared towards local guys, right? Local writers who are just like, yeah, whatever. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to see this.
No.
I can put a few shekels on whoever it is to win MVP, Joel Embiid or whatever.
But again, like immediately when I read this, the first thing that popped in my head was Marcus Smart's Defensive Player of the Year.
That's a good one. Like, that's a really good one.
I want to go back and look at that. Who voted for who? Who did not have Robert Williams as the winner?
The 30 for 30 on the collusion of writers around the country to get like the guy with the third best odds to go up and win that.
Just saying, Hills, look, it's Boston, you know. They like to break a lot of kneecaps around there.
And they love their Celtics irrationally.
Yes, well, that's true. All right, coming up next, we continue our college football rivalry trophy matchups day five? Yeah, day five. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.